to be challenged today. We'll see. We'll see. We've been in this series of rooted relationships and kind of building up to our new discipleship groups that will be launching here pretty soon. And I'm going to be honest with you, I changed it, this series or this sermon, three different times. I was like, how can I pack five sermons into one sermon? And so I finally just picked an idea and I started on it Wednesday. And so I have been just cramming away trying to get this, but I feel good about it. I feel like God has a word for us today. It's usually a topic that you probably don't hear very often. But what do we do when we have people that we care about disappoint us? I've called this patient hope in imperfect people. You know what's really crazy about this? We live in a world where we expect perfection from broken people. And we were never designed to be perfect. Not them and not you. Every single one of us falls short. Every single one of us. Yes, somehow we walk through our life shocked when people, well, act like people. We're shocked when we are offended by somebody. We are shocked when people act like human. Because we're fallen. Let me tell you about a moment that shattered my illusion of this. I was a freshman in high school. And there was this guy as a senior, and I looked up to him. You know, he's the sports guy. He's, you know, the guy that he was the popular guy in school. And, you know, we were kind of friends because I was like a freshman and he was a senior. So it kind of makes you a little cooler if you got high school buddies, you know, high senior buddies. You know, he's a star athlete, honor student. He had all of these things, and I put this guy on a pedestal. Have you done that? You ever looked up to somebody, put him on a pedestal, in your mind you're thinking, this person's got it all. He's got it all. Well, one day I'm standing in the hallway, and I'm watching him, my hero, my role model, the guy who I want to be like, completely throw me underneath the bus to save his own reputation. He lied. He manipulated. He destroyed me to protect himself. I was devastated, not just because he hurt me, but because he wasn't who I thought he was going to be. And because of this situation, guess what happened? I started building walls around my life to protect me from people hurting me again. It started at a young age and it carried on and carried on. Because the things that I know today, I did not have the tools from back then. In this time, Jesus was not in my life. I was an unbeliever. And so I had no clue how to deal with the hurt of other people. I was broken and it set me down a whirlwind of life decisions that hurt other people because I needed to protect myself. You know what? You're not going to hurt me. I'm going to hurt you. That's how I deal with it. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been disappointed by someone close to you? Maybe as a parent, a friend, a leader, someone who you looked up to. And if so, raise your hand. Okay, leave them up. Leave them up. Because we're a hand-raising church. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever disappointed somebody? Have you ever fallen short of what somebody else expected of you? Raise your hand. Sinners, the ones who don't have their hands up. We're going to start a group for that. A small group for that. You can put your hands down. Okay, I know you're getting tired. I mean, if you looked around, everybody had their hands up. Everybody had their hands up. You know why? Because the Bible already talks about it in Romans 3:23. It tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short. Not most of us, not some of us, all of us. We have let people down. We fall short. You know that person who lets you down, they fall short. That leader who disappoints you falls down. Your boss falls down. Your parents, they fall short. Your friends fall short. Even your pastor falls short. And here's the hard pill. It's easy to look out but never look in. You fall short too. But here's what's beautiful if we continue that verse. It says in verse 24. So I was in Romans 3:23. That's not our topic today. But in verse 24 it says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. See, God doesn't look at our resume of failures and try harder. Keep trying. It doesn't keep track of our record of failings and where we come up short. He doesn't say, do better. He doesn't look at our broken conditions and say, he looks at what we're going through and he asks you if you trust him, if he's got it. Because we like to fix things. We don't like when things are going wrong. We want things. But when we need to say, God, you got this. I trust you. You've got this. You see, we keep expecting people to be what only God can be. Let me say that again. We keep expecting people to be what only God can be. He's the only perfect, reliable, and never failing. We keep looking for glory in places where glory was never meant to be found. And then we're shocked, we're hurt, we're bitter when fallen people act, well, human. We're caught off guard when people act like they're human or fallen. Here's the thing. That I hope, I want to change your perspective on this today. I want you to get this. This is a changing of your mind and how you see people. Because we want rooted relationships. We want them rooted and built up in Christ. God knew we would all fall short before he even created us. Your disappointment in people doesn't surprise him. Your own failures don't catch him off guard. He's not in heaven going, oh no, I didn't see that coming. It's not him. God has a grace that's bigger than your disappointment, a redemption that's far greater than your failures, and today I want to show you how to stop expecting glory from people who fall short and start receiving grace from God who lifts them and you up. It's a call to live differently. It's a call to see the world around you and the people in your life differently. So our scripture today is 1 Thessalonians 5:4. We'll start at 4. It's towards three quarters away probably through your Bible. If you need help with that, it's in there. Because we are a Bible-believing church. Amen? So anyway, it says, but you, brother, it'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day may surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. That's good news. We are all children of the light. You are children of the daytime. I used to be a child of night. The ones shaking their head, they know. They know my story. I know their story. We were children of the dark. Sleep all day and party all night. Thank God that lifestyle is over. Wow. We are children of the day. That means you don't operate in the world's standards. You don't respond to the hurt the way the world responds to hurt. The world has conditioned us to respond to hurt with retaliation, backbiting, gossip, slander. Oh, the Bible has a lot to say about that. We just went through James a couple months ago. It's funny because I got some friends back in Chicago. And they go, you know what, your James sermon, that was so good, we're listening to it again. I go, well, that's cool. I guess the first one wasn't enough. I'm sitting there saying, God, I don't want to preach James again for about 10 more years, please. Oh, God is awesome. We don't operate the world operates any longer. We are being transformed by the renewing of our minds and our hearts and our souls. When someone betrays your trust, the world says build walls, protect yourself, don't let anyone close come into your life. Because of the stuff that I've been through and the walls that I built, even with my wife when we first started dating and stuff, there are so many walls that I had that prevented our relationship from ever blossoming and like thriving and growing because of the hurt that I've experienced and her own hurt. She had her own walls until Jesus stepped in. The moment he stepped into our marriage, he just started ripping down those walls. And it was amazing. When someone betrays your trust, the world says build walls. We know how to build walls. We all have walls. But when you become children of the light, when someone betrays your trust, you have a different option now. Are you ready? This is the... You can choose to respond with the grace that Jesus showed you when you betrayed him. Maybe I need to say that one more time. Respond with the grace that Jesus shows you when you betray him. Oh, I know, now you're feeling uncomfortable. You didn't know I was going to talk about you, did you? We were talking about the other people hurting you. The idea that you betrayed Jesus, that's a tough one to swallow. But think about it. Every time you sin, every time you choose your way over his way, every time you love something more than him, you are betraying him. You are worshiping the gift and not the giver. Yet Jesus doesn't build walls around him to prevent you from getting close to him. He doesn't write you off. He keeps pursuing you in spite of you. There's a song, I should have played it. It just came to my mind. It's called Reckless Love. It's a reckless kind of love. It's a relentless love that never stops pursuing you. Every time somebody sins against you, you're sinning against Jesus, and Jesus isn't building walls around him to keep you away from him. He's actually chasing after you and pursuing you. Let's look at verse 8. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober-minded, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and a hope of salvation as a helmet. Paul uses a military term here. Why? You talk about a breastplate. He talks about a helmet, protection. Because living this way is a battle. Changing your perspective on how you're supposed to treat people becomes a battle. Choosing hope when people disappoint you. That's tough. That's actually warfare. Spiritual warfare. Choosing love when you've been hurt, it's not natural. We don't like to love when somebody doesn't love us. We put faith. We put on the faith and love like armor because you're, guess what? Because you need protected. You need protection. Not protection from getting hurt, because why? You're going to get hurt. It's not protection from that. We're all going to get hurt no matter what. We've already dealt with that. People are people. You need protection from becoming bitter, protection from losing hope, protection from giving up. That's what you need protected of. Let me tell you something about hope. Biblical hope isn't wishful thinking. It's not crossing your fingers hoping that everything's going to work out. It's not what it is. Biblical hope is confidence and expectation based on who God is and His promises. My promises, my hope is in the promises of God. And when God says it, the promise is yes and amen. In other words, your hope isn't found in people's ability to be perfect. That is not your hope. If that's where your hope is, you're going to be disappointed. Every single day for the rest of your life if you put your hope in people. Your hope is in God's ability to work through imperfect people to accomplish His perfect purpose. When we pray for other people, it's because we're putting our hope in Him to help this person. So when somebody offends you, what do? You pray for them. You don't get bitter. You don't get angry. You don't lash out. You pray about it. Put it in God's hands. The foundation that never fails. This is patient hope. This is where it gets really good. Really good. For God, verses 9 and 10, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Your security, your peace, your joy, your identity, none of that is dependent on other people's performance. When people let you down, your hope and your joy doesn't come because they let you down. It's dependent on God's finished work, is what this scripture... It's dependent only on God, not people around you. Think about it this way. Jesus died knowing exactly how many times you were going to disappoint Him. He died for you knowing every selfish decision you were going to make, every time you chose yourself over Him, every time you would fail to love others the way that He loves you. Jesus chooses patient hope for all of us. Here's what I've learned in the years of ministry. When someone disappoints you, you have a choice. Offense is optional. Being hurt is inevitable. You're going to get hurt. But staying hurt is your choice. Being disappointed is unavoidable, but becoming bitter is still your decision. You decide how you're going to react to the situation. When you choose to be offended, you're essentially saying, this person's action has more power over my peace than God's love. This person has more power over my emotions than God's love for me. You're given, it's crazy. Think about, okay, let's think about it like this. You're given a fallen, broken human being more influence over your emotional state than you're giving the creator of the universe. As Jesus does for us, patient hope, every time we make a mistake, we need to share that patient hope with others. So Jesus does for us, we need to practice the patient hope. So what does this mean, Pastor? Say, what does this mean, Pastor?
What does this mean?
Okay, now we're going to get good. This means you expect people to be imperfect. You're expecting people to be imperfect. So failure doesn't shock you no more because you already know broken people do things. If you come out of denial and accept that and be prepared, like, okay, I know this person's going to hurt me, but I'm not going to let it ruin me. We get shocked when somebody lies to you or offends you or says the wrong thing to you. We're shocked. He did what? He said what? I can't believe he did that to me. If you're expecting it, then you're not shocked by it. I'm going to unpack that. Not yet. It means you expect people to be imperfect, so failure doesn't shock you. But it also, on the other side of that coin, it's never losing sight of how God continues to work through broken people and extending grace to them too. Basically, ultimately, you're taking the offense against you and putting it into God's hands. Say, God, I need you to handle this one, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Because God's going to give the grace that you can't give sometimes. Just like Jesus gives us grace that we don't deserve. You're not expecting them to be perfect today. The person who offends you, you're not expecting them to be perfect today, but you're hopeful about who they're going to become when you put it into God's hands. Instead of becoming bitter and expecting the worst from people because they've hurt you, my story, remember you have hurt people too. What's the old saying? You point at somebody, you got three pointing back at you. Patient hope chooses to keep believing in people's capacity for growth and goodness through God's grace. Let me try to paint a picture of this. Imagine you're the lighthouse keeper. And there's a huge storm that comes in. You know the lighthouse with the spinning light. You know the purpose of those, right? And your job is simple. To keep the light on so the ships don't crash. Your job is simple. We don't want these ships to crash into each other or crash into the shore or anything like that. But there's a huge storm going on. Now the ships are going to come to your shore. They're going to be beaten. They're going to be broken. They're going to be battered from the storm, taking on water, barely afloat. Wouldn't it be crazy if you looked at those broken ships and said, well, I'm disappointed in these ships. They should have been stronger. They should have been able to handle the storm better. I'm not going to help them anymore. It'd be insane, wouldn't it? Because the whole point of the house, the lighthouse, is to guide these beaten ships to safety. Church, that's what we are. We are broken ships guiding other broken ships to the safe harbor of God's grace. No matter what they do against you. You don't have to have it all together. Newsflash, you're not perfect. Nor is the person sitting next to you perfect. The reason we can have patient hope isn't because people are going to stop disappointing you. It's because Jesus is never going to stop being faithful to you. He's never going to stop being faithful to you. He's never going to stop being faithful to them. I don't know about you, but I want to be on his plan. And I know it's hard. He knew it was going to be hard. So we need to live with patient hope. What does this look like practically, okay? How do you live with patient hope in a world that is full of amazing, perfect people? Thanks for laughing. First, we need to give people permission to be human. Stop being shocked when a Christian or another person act like they're still under control or under construction. Stop being shocked when a Christian acts like they're still under construction. We are all under construction. Your pastor is still under construction. We all are. The moment that you get saved, you don't become perfect. You become forgiven. You become loved. You become His. But you're still growing. You're still growing. There's only one perfect, and His name is Jesus. Second thing, you need to remember, hurt people hurt people. That's a mic drop. When somebody lashes out at you, whether it's at work or family or cousin or brother or sister, even your kids, or parents, whatever, when someone betrays your trust, when somebody says something that cuts deep into your heart and really offends you, remember that their behavior is usually more about their own pain than about you and your performance. Sometimes people will lash out because there's something going on in them or in their situation that you know nothing about. You just happen to be the person that gets the grunt of it. And so when you look at that perspective from that angle, you're like, oh, you know what? They're just having a bad day. I'm going to forgive and beat them and walk about my business because I'm not going to give that person any power to control the rest of my day. Forgive them instantly so that you can walk out of that. When you know hurt people, man, life gets a lot easier, does it not? You can't, as a pastor and doing Celebrate Recovery for 10 years, I've learned hurt people, and they don't mean to do it, but there's so much pain inside of them, they don't know how to process it. And so when they feel emotionally anger or depressed or anxiety, that pressure inside of them comes out in the wrong way because they don't know how to express it because they're hurting. But here's the thing, you can't take offense to that. That's the whole message. You can't take offense to that because in reality, it's not your burden to carry how they feel. Amen. There's a word for this. It's called codependency. And we need to set that stuff aside because it will destroy you. It will destroy marriages. It destroys relationships. Your identity and your hope is only in God, not in people. We've said that. Amen. So hurt people will hurt people because every time you put your faith and trust in a person, it's going to fail. It's not going to work. I'm sorry, I let my wife down all the time. She's like, will you do the dishes? Yeah, I'll do them. They don't get done. I mean, you could look at it from any perspective of life. We let each other down all the time. Third, here's where it comes to you. You control what you can control. Oh, people who love control, you ain't gonna like this one. You can't control how people treat you. Sorry. Amen. But you can control how you respond to their treatment. Amen. Mm-hmm. You can't control their actions, but you can control your reactions. There's a word, you know, in anger management classes that I had to do a bunch of. B.C., before Jesus. And there's little tools and stuff, you know, like when you get into an argument, there's a way to fight fair and argue fair. And there's a tool that says, if I'm in an argument and I keep saying you, all I'm doing is putting the person that I'm arguing with into a corner. And what's their response? To defend themselves. And so, when I can control how I have a conversation with my wife, let me give you some skills here. The way that this conversation is going right now makes me feel uncomfortable, so I'd prefer we not talk about this right now. versus you keep yelling at me and I don't like it and you make me feel this way and you're doing this and you're doing that. Where's the argument ever going to end when you keep saying you? You're putting the other person into the corner, and it causes, but you can control what you say and how you say it. Does that make sense to you? You control your reactions. If my wife's telling me, you, I'm going to say, you know what, hey, my hands are up. I'm not here to fight. I'm surrendering. Let's talk about this like civilized people. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We made mistakes. How can we move through this and get better? Not bringing up past things over and over because we've been offended because of things in the past or things that were said. That's what I'm getting at. The things that we say and do to each other, we're going to offend people. But how you fight these battles should be through the lens of Christ. First forgive, then talk. Don't have unforgiveness and try to fix it. Forgive, then try to fix it. This is huge. When you realize that your peace doesn't depend on other people's behavior, you start getting your power back. When you're no longer a victim of other people's reactions. Fourth, you keep the main thing the main thing. You guys didn't know you was going to class today, did you? Keep the main thing the main thing. Well, what is the main thing? Here's the main thing. People aren't perfect. That's what I'm trying to get to you. People are going to let you down. They're not perfect. The main thing is that God is faithful. The main thing is that not whether they're ever, never, ever going to disappoint you again. No. The main thing is that Jesus is never going to fail you. When you make God's faithfulness your foundation instead of people's performance, everything will start changing. You can love without fear because security isn't in their love for you. It's in His love for you. You can serve with no strings attached because your worth isn't determined by their response. It's determined by His sacrifice. So how do we do these things? I don't know about you, but I needed people in my life. We talked about discipleship last week. I needed to wrap myself around people in my life who were going to hold me accountable, who were going to love me, who were going to tell me when I was making mistakes or saying wrong things, or when I went and offended somebody because they had offended me, then I can say, hey, I need help navigating this. Who is wrong? Who is right? Do I need to go make amends? Do I need to go offer forgiveness because of a situation, because I was offended? I need people that can look into the situation, not people who are in the situation. Does that make sense? You need somebody on the outside looking in. So, community changes everything. This is why we're launching these rooted groups. Because you're going to be in such a community with people, and you're going to do life with people, and you're going to be all messy people when you do it. These are the small groups that you're going to go into deeper relationships with. Finding discipleship, finding real God-honoring relationships. I love this. Colossians 2, 6 through 8 says, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Strengthen your faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceitful philosophies, which depend on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of those of this world rather than in Christ. To be rooted and built up in Christ means you need to be around people who are going to offend you and who are going to disappoint you. Because guess what? In those relationships, God is working on that person. But guess what He's doing? I've said it before. He's roughing out your hard edges. The people who disappoint you are sometimes like sandpaper. That you need your edges roughed out. And you can't do that if you're not around people. I know, I want to be honest with you all about signing up for these. You're not signing up to be in a group with a teacher. This is not a class with a teacher teaching you. You're not in this group with perfect people. You're in this group with broken, fallen people trying to find hope in a Savior. You're signing up to be in a group with people who are perfectly loved by God and are learning what it means to love the same way. You might have moments. I'm just giving you some, preparing you. Make sure you guys want to sign up for this. You do. You might have moments where somebody in your group disappoints you. Why? Because you have poured your heart into the work, the devotion work. You've put everything into the work, and then that person, one of the people in your group, comes to your group and did none of the work. That's going to disappoint you and offend you. I put everything into this, and this person comes in the group and done nothing. Guess what? Get over it. It's not about you. God will work with them. He's working on them. You work with you. You know why? Because you're there for a reason, and that's to learn how to be more Christ-like, to be rooted in Christ. Man, there's so many examples I want to just share. Like when we get offended over this littlest things. Someone in the group might share something that you disagree with or have a different perspective on things. And that's okay. Because we're there to learn together. Someone might not show up. Because in these groups, we train you and teach you how to share testimony and how to build your testimony. We teach you how to pray. We teach you and show you and give you opportunity to do these things. Not that you have to, but we're going to strongly encourage these things because we want you rooted in Christ. But now it's your week to share your testimony and the person doesn't show up to group. That's going to offend you. It's going to hurt you. But in the midst of all these things, here's what I want you to remember if that does happen. It's exactly where God wants you. He's not caught off guard by this. Sometimes he puts us through trials to see how we handle those trials. This is where we learn what patient hope looks like. Rooted groups can't prevent you from being hurt again. Can't promise that. But here's the beauty in it. You will learn to build healthy relationships. I see my friend back there shaking her head big. You will learn to be vulnerable. You will learn to be challenged. You'll be loved on your worst days. You'll be loved on your best days. In this, you're going to learn it's about relationships, rooted. You will build healthy relationships with people who will encourage you through life's ups and downs. You'll discover community that shows up when you're struggling. When you're struggling, you have somebody to reach out to. Celebrate when you're winning. Walk alongside you with full knowledge. These people in your group are going to walk alongside you knowing that you fall short of the glory of God. And there's no judgment. In the rooted groups, you don't just learn about community. That's one of the core things in the rooted. But you're going to experience it with people who understand that we're all broken. But we're also stronger together. Some of you may be hesitant to join because you've been hurt before. I could have you all raise your hand. You all raise your hand. We've all been hurt before. And the world says, don't do it. Don't say anything. You've trusted people who don't deserve it. And you've not been able to trust other people because of what that person has done to you. You've been vulnerable and had that vulnerability used against you. So there's fear in what might happen in this group. I get it. I've been there too. But here's what I can tell you. The answer to being hurt by people isn't to avoid people. You think that not being hurt means avoiding people altogether. I don't know about you, but I disappoint myself sometimes. I don't need people to disappoint me. You're going to learn to love people the way Jesus loves people. And that's with patient hope. So the choice before you, here's what it comes down to. You have a choice to make. You can choose to let past disappointment define your future relationships. Say, not today. Because guess what? If you allow that to happen, if you let your past define your relationships and your future, the devil's got a hold on you. He's working in you. He's preventing you from experience the love and the joy of community. Not today, Satan. You can choose to let the past disappointments define your future relationships, or you can choose to let God's faithfulness fuel your hope in what He can do through imperfect people as yourself. Because you fall in that category too. I fall in that category too, imperfect people. You can choose to continue to build walls around your life, or guess what? You can start building bridges from relationship to relationship. Stop building walls and start building bridges. That's, I love it, because that's what happens on the cross. You got us, you got God, and Jesus built a bridge on the cross so that we could have access. He's building bridges. You can choose to hold grudges, or you can choose to extend grace. You can choose to offend, or choose to be amazed by the ability of God's grace through broken people. Because I don't know about you, but broken people teach me things. They teach me to forgive. They teach me to have grace. They teach me to be able to have a... let me say it this way. Sometimes when people are broken and fallen, guess what? It reminds me that I'm not perfect. I need to be reminded that I'm fallen and broken, and I don't know everything. God has a way of using imperfect people to show me where I'm wrong. Here's the thing. Some of you can't make that choice today because you've never even experienced the patient hope of Jesus yet. You've never felt what it's like to be completely known and completely loved at the same time. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus, but you've heard about Jesus your whole life. But it's never become personal because it was always about religion. Do's and don'ts and being perfect, and I got to earn this and earn that and do all these things. No. Mm-mm. That's not a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you believe in God, and maybe you've never surrendered your life to Him. Maybe, just maybe, you've been trying to be good enough, but you've never received the grace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You keep working for something. You keep, like, I know about God and I believe in it, but I want Jesus to reveal Himself to me in a brand new way, because I'm tired of looking at the world through my broken lens, and I want to start seeing the world the way Jesus sees the world. What that looks like, think about it. Jesus went to the cross for us. We did communion. He went to the cross for us, knowing that we were going to be fallen and broken and all these things. And He still loved us to go to that cross, knowing we were going to mess everything up. I want to see the world through that lens. Knowing that I can forgive and have grace and pray no matter what people do to me. If, you know, when, here's something funny. Don't become a pastor if you're easily offended. You know why? Because my job isn't here to please you. It's here to please him. And you need to know that. Because the moment you take your eyes off of all this stuff and you place it here, things become clear. The fog removes. Your focus, your purpose, your choices are all in tune with what he wants, not with what you want or the people around you want. It takes a long time to learn that. But it's so much worth it. Here's the truth. You'll never be able to love others with a patient hope until you experience the patient hope that God has already given you. You'll never be able to forgive others until you've been forgiven. You'll never be able to practice what's preached until you've been forgiven. You'll never be able to see past people's failures until you experience God's ability to see past yours. Jesus died on the cross not because you were good enough, but because he loved you enough. He doesn't wait for you to get your act together. He doesn't wait for you to prove that you're worthy of his grace. He died for you while you were still sinners. He died for us. Get this. He died for us while we were still enemies to him. We were still running from him. I think about it. I sat in that jail, one of the worst places you could be, and he met me right where I was at. And I told my kids, I told everybody, ask my wife. We had lots of conversations about who God is. And as far as I'm concerned, there was no God because of the pain and the bad choices that were done to me and the bad choices I'd done to other people. If there was a God, he did not want to forgive me. He met me right where I was at. Right where I was at. I didn't have to clean myself up. You will never be able to see past people's failures until you experience God's ability to see past yours. He died for you while you were still sinners. And we were enemies. That is what patient hope is. Knowing that somebody was going to make a mistake and still love them enough anyway. And he went to the cross. And sometimes we hold a grudge so deep and so hard, we wouldn't even think about going to the cross, let alone we can barely forgive people. That's patient hope. What does it look like when someone loves you knowing you're going to disappoint them and choosing to love them anyway? Can you love somebody when you know they're going to disappoint you? If you can't, you should. Because Christ loved you and you disappoint him. So here's what I want to do. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never experienced his forgiveness, his love, in a personal way, today's your day. Don't go out this door without being transformed. Every head bowed, every eye shut. Nobody's looking. It's not complicated. You don't have to clean yourself up first, like I said. You don't have to prove that you're worthy. You just have to come to him as you are. Say, Jesus, I need you. Help me see the world through your eyes. Help me to forgive the people who offend me. I cannot do this forgiveness thing on my own. I've messed up and I need your forgiveness. I want to surrender my life to you. If that's you today, raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Pick your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's not complicated. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. His grace is enough. You can put your hands down. For the rest of us who are already followers of Jesus, but we've been holding on to this disappointment of what people's done in our past, keep your eyes closed. Think about them right now. We took communion earlier. We need to confess. Unforgiveness is sin. When you don't forgive somebody, you are sinning against a holy God who offered you forgiveness. You're holding back the grace that God has already given you. Think about those people who disappointed you. I mean, we don't have all day, but we could go all day doing this. I want you to raise your hand too. I want you to make a commitment today. If you've already followed Jesus and you've got these people in your life that who have disappointed you, raise your hand. Yeah, all the hands should be up. Yep, there we go. I want you to make a commitment today to choose to have patient hope with these people. To choose to love like Jesus loves. To choose to see people the way God sees them. Not the way that you see them. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you just thank you for your love for us. It isn't based on our performance. Thank you that you choose to love us, knowing that we would disappoint you. And that through your death and your resurrection, you have given us salvation. Help us to love others the same way. Give us patient hope that seeing beyond other people's failures and seeing your faithfulness, help us to be the kind of community that reflects your grace, your hope, your salvation, your love. We pray that those who don't know you yet, that you would give them life in you and experience the freedom and the joy that only comes through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ready for another announcement? I told you all I was going to open Rooted Groups at the end of the series, which is next week. I opened them this morning. What that means is you can go on your church center app and register if you're interested in being in these groups. I don't have all the details yet, but I need to know who's going to join the groups so that I can make arrangements for the groups, if that makes sense. So let me share something with you real quick. Rooted Experience, are you ready to take a faith to the next level?
Yes.
Only a few. Only a few of you. The Rooted Experience is open. The registration's open, like I said. So you can go on. I only have a certain amount of spots. I've told you for 2-3 weeks to be praying about this. And so it's open, and there's a limited amount of spots. So don't wait. Let me explain a little bit about it. This is more than a Bible study. It's a life-changing journey designed to help you connect with God, the church, and ignite your purpose and what God is calling you to do. What to expect. This is a 10-week group. It's going to start in September, and it's going to go till November, right before Thanksgiving. And here's the thing. You have to be present in these groups. It's not like I'm going to come this week and not go this week. No, you have to be in group every week, because there's a lot of cool stuff that happens. And if you miss what happens in the group, you miss a lot of community, a lot of relationship building, a lot of storytelling. You have to be in the group. So if it doesn't work for your time, don't sign up. There'll be more next year in February. Okay? Here's the thing. You're going to learn 7 spiritual truths and rhythms. You're going to learn to discover your spiritual gifts, spiritual gift testing, a long one. Took them a lot longer than I thought. daily devotion time. You're going to ask questions. You're going to fast. You're going to pray. You're going to share stories. And yes, there will be tears. And yes, there will be joy. There will be freedom. There will be transformation. There'll be celebration. And my favorite, there'll be food. Don't let past disappointments rob you from the future relationships that God wants to do in you right here today. Don't let the enemy convince you that it's not safe. God created you for community. So if you have questions, come up, talk to me afterwards. If you need help registering, Vanette can probably help you. I can help you with registering that. If you don't have Church Center app, I can help you download it, or I can help you from the back end if you're interested. One more thing, this group will cost $40. You're going to get the book and a t-shirt. We're gonna get some t-shirts for this. It's going to be awesome. So love you guys. It's 12 o'clock. I went way too long. There's food in there. Hang out. We love you guys, and we will see you next week. God bless. What's that? I don't know yet.
Okay. Oh. Is that what we do?